Ways and Means full committee, May 17th. Ways and Means full committee, May 17, 1991, 8:30 a.m.
Whether or not there really is a cost-benefit analysis that's being done to tell us on a larger scale if the expansion of that program really is netting us any positive results as a state. And I think that's something that we've asked the motor pool to come back and report to us regarding the expansion of that program and how it's working. There's been enough other controversies regarding motor pool that I think we'll get some additional dialogue on it. But that's the only area that really gave us a lot of trouble in trying to ascertain its value.
How about cap construction and rental and placement and all that? I mean, that comes up in every other committee, and we seem to get some pretty lousy answers.
Well, I think the lousy answers that you're receiving are not necessarily the responsibility of the Department of General Services. I think part of the blame goes to the Executive Department. I think there was a poor transmission of communication with respect to what the uniform rates were going to be and how they were going to be assessed throughout agencies. And then in addition to that, several agencies dropped the ball. Several agencies got the message and didn't do their calculations very effectively. Based on the information they got, and then subsequently felt like they had been bushwhacked with sizable increases in uniform rent assessments. But at the same time, we found there was a breakdown all across, and I think it resulted from a fairly substantial change in policy of how the Department of General Services was going to assess uniform rent statewide. And I guess I put the onus on the Executive Department because they're the ones that are to communicate with the agencies and the agency heads for not having picked up the message early enough to have anticipated it in the budget.
Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, since the question of the motor pool was brought up, I just want to toss in a little thing. I have sort of tried to needle General Services into seeing what they can do about needling agencies into making much more efficient use of the shuttle buses. I'm amazed that shuttle bus runs and very few people use it, and yet I'm sure that there are a lot of cars checked out from Salem to drive down to Portland when it would be much cheaper for them to get on the shuttle bus and in Portland pick up a car if they need to get around there. And I just think something ought to be done to urge all agencies to save on that kind of transportation.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roberts, you hit on a very excellent point. And in fact, it is a troublesome area because we mold around the problem, the fact that some state agencies are just simply allowing employees to go check out a car and drive wherever without using a carpool concept. We did hear then some good responses from the Department of General Services in the Portland metropolitan area in that they provide some incentives for people to ride the light rail or TriMet. System there, and I think the department's here listening to what you have to say, and I think the motor pool or the shuttle bus to Salem is an excellent idea because as I pass it coming to notice I said pass coming to Salem.
They're held to 65.
I noticed that they're usually empty also. Now that I've indicted myself.
Have you thought about carpooling?
In any event, the other thing is that Senator Yee, I think, made a good point in the committee that the Department of General Services should look at some new technologies with respect to natural gas and clean-burning fuels vehicles in the future. And we have the assurance that they're going to move that direction, and I think the onus budgetarily falls on the emergency board to keep the agency honest, and through some very kind prodding during the interim. I think we need to continue them in that direction.
This is always a very, very tough budget. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Hand.
While you're on the motor pool, did I understand you to say you're looking at other agencies folding into this? And the reason I'm asking is the OLCC brought information to our committee to show their costs were substantially cheaper than using the motor pool. And what is going to be done to deal with those particular situations where other people can show up?
Senator Hannon, you want to look very closely at House Bill 2892 when it passes and comes over to the Senate, because that was one of the areas that we addressed, that there are seven fleets out there, of which some of them do operate at a much substantially lower cost than the motor pool in Salem does. So we don't know if the language is quite correct, but we urge you to take a good look at it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I think that part of the dialogue that needs to take place during the interim when the department responds to some of the direction of the subcommittee is whether or not each agency is basing their lower cost on the same criteria that Department of General Services is. And I think that's where we fall down. As I understand OLCC's budget is they base their longevity of the cars and the cost effectiveness of the use of the cars on criteria that is not necessarily considered in the Department of General Services. And I think as a policy direction, for consistency's sake, somewhere along the line, we need to have some guidelines statewide with respect to what are the critical assumptions that are necessary when we try to evaluate the use of vehicles in the state. And that's the problem now, is we have really two different sets of criteria. Some agencies really like the fact that they have their own motor pool and have the ability to control it. They don't like to come under the auspices and control or authority of the Department of General Services for whatever reasons. And in any event, I think that policy really needs to continue in terms of dialogue and direction through the interim.
Thank you.
Question, Representative Gilmore.
Yeah, Senator Roberts, I know General Services is somewhat responsible for the residence of the governor.
Mm-hmm.
How is the elevator fund?
The elevator is not contemplated to be built by general funds at all.
Oh, I know that. Aren't they going to contract for the work to be done on that state property?
Frankly, I think that there are some plans underway for public fundraising to provide for it, but right now there is no elevator.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I want to respond to that because it was my opinion that the Department of General Services should pay for that elevator. Simply because we do have a statewide policy with respect to disabilities and access in state-owned buildings. The governor did not agree and felt because of the political sensitivity of that issue that they did not want to deal with that in this budget, and they wanted it to be separated from it. So I guess I give the governor the credit for wanting to distance herself from that decision. I still, as a matter of policy, believe that it should have been paid through this budget.
I enjoy sitting beside the fireplace in the basement.
For the record, I would agree with the chairman that handled it. I think that we've gone through that political era of who bought it, who owns it, and all that stuff now. The fact is, we own it. Mm-hmm. General Services is responsible, and General Service should be doing the work.
It was my intent, in fact, right up to the last work session to give that direction in the subcommittee, and I was contacted by Dan Simmons via the governor's office that they did not want to have that in there to avoid
it. There's probably a way that will be handled at the time that other funds come in from contributions. It'll become an emergency board item as another funds expenditure through the Department of General Services. We can bring this discussion up again at that time of how we want to handle it.
Yeah.
Good job and a tough budget. The committee should be complimented. General Services is a very complex budget. Any recommendations disagreement on sending it to the Senate or with the do-pass recommendation without a vote of confidence, just simply on the budget?
Just give them a vote of confidence.
Right.
Any objection? Okay. Senate Bill 5558, Secretary of State, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Secretary's budget, the 1991 to 93 recommended budget for the Secretary of State is $8.3 million general fund, $22.7 million other funds, and $42,000 federal funds. It continues the Secretary of State's operations for administering state elections, preserving the state's valuable records, providing audits of state agencies administering business registrations and documenting secure transactions in their UCC code section of it. The major change in the budget was created by the passage of Senate Bill 454 and 456, shifting $3 million from the general fund to other funds. Those shifts included $2.6 million in the corporations division and over $300,000 to make the blue book and the printing of administrative rules self-sufficient. The rest of the increase in other funds is due to adding the new appraisal licensing board at $240,000, a transfer of $200,000 from the corporations division operating account to the elections division for computerizing the elections process, salary roll-up costs in the accountancy and tax examiners boards of $150,000, and salary roll-up costs including three new auditors in the audits division of over $1 million. While the general fund request was reduced, the subcommittee provided additional funds for increased costs of printing and mailing the voters' pamphlet, as well as higher AG costs in the elections division. In addition, the position of elections director was reclassified. The subcommittee directed the secretary to work with the attorney general to reduce AG charges and to provide recommendations to the next legislative assembly for reducing costs of the voters' pamphlet. The subcommittee also approved funding for moving the archives division into its new building. The subcommittee was concerned about the expanding administrative structure within the agency and directed the secretary to develop a plan for streamlining the support services division. The subcommittee expressed a desire for more individual agency audits. It directed the secretary to study ways to conduct more efficient statewide financial audits for the purpose of freeing up more auditors to conduct more financial and compliance audits and performance audits in the individual agencies. I urge your approval.
Thank you, Senator Yee. Any questions on this budget? Any objections to moving 5558 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? So, all right. Senate Bill 609 relating to halibut angling, Senator Trost.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 609 creates an annual tag to fish for halibut. The revenue from the $5 tag would be dedicated to halibut research. Testimony was received that little is known about the extent of the halibut resource off the Oregon coast. The International Pacific Halibut Commission sets the fishing quotas. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife cannot confirm whether these quotas are unnecessarily restrictive. The halibut research will allow the department to provide scientific data to the International Commission. Subcommittee amended the bill to add expenditure limitation, which will be used for a one-quarter time, 0.25 FTE, experimental biology aid. Recommend approval of the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Johnson.
Are there other states that operate any kind of research programs?
I don't believe so. I don't think that Washington does. Basically, I think they're all involved in this International Halibut Commission, and that commission gets its data mostly from the state, off the state of Washington and Alaska in those fisheries, and then they set the season based on that data. And I think it's the belief of those around the port of Newport, especially where there's a lot of sport halibut fishing being done now, that data limits the season unnecessarily. And if our Fish and Wildlife Department had the ability to do the research and to find out what was actually happening to the fishery off our coast, we could influence that commission so that it would set seasons that would be more realistic for Oregon.
Good morning, Senator
Garrett. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Reading the bill, it appears to me that you don't really need the halibut tag for $5 if you have bought a angling license for one day at $350.
That, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, that's true. The bill does say that if you buy that one day angling license, you don't need to have the tag. So you can fish for one day for halibut without the tag. If you fish otherwise, you need the tag.
Okay. follow-up question then.
Mm-hmm.
Then under the theory that this bill does establish a $5 angling tag for halibut research, then theoretically, if you only fish for halibut for one day and paid the angling tag for $3.50, you would not, as a halibut fisherman for that one day, be contributing to the halibut research account.
There would not be the direct money going into the account that would come from the tag. That's true. I think that it operates that way for other kinds of fisheries as well as halibut, where you have the tag. You don't need to buy the tag if you're fishing for one day. It's to handle tourists and so forth who are momentarily here in the state.
One more question. Theoretically, can you buy an angling license for one day, more than one day in any 365 consecutive days?
I believe you can. I'm not sure, but I think you can, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 609 to the Senate? Well, we better have a roll call. John.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I could ask the representative from Jefferson a question, I'm not sure I understand or get the import of your questions. You're suggesting that a person could, if they wanted to go fishing for halibut and do that, say, 3 days, spend $10.50 for 3 one-day permits and would contribute nothing to the research program.
That's my conclusion, by the way the bill is printed.
So that,
and to follow up on that answer, the reason for the bill, quote, is for the halibut research.
So can I ask you a question of the carrier then, Mr.
Sure.
Chair? How does a person pay the $5 fee? Who is it that does that? How does that come about?
Well, the $5 fee, you know, is obviously for anybody who wants to fish for one day in Oregon. For any of the fish that you may catch off, it's a way of accommodating those people who want to do it. It's really not economic for people to fish a lot and to buy a one-day fee. And so most of the people fishing for halibut have the annual halibut license or annual angling license, and they would have to have the tag.
Oh, okay.
And that's the way it operates for other specialty fishing.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask then, a person... So that's
Senator Roberts.
He's still going.
Oh, excuse me.
It'll limit.
So the annual halibut tag to angle for halibut of $5 is an addition to that sum. If I were to say I want to go fishing and I want a fishing license and I want to also fish for halibut during the year, I'd pay this fee. If I wanted to escape this fee and I don't want to pay that $5, say no. I think I'll just get a one-day license for halibut for $3.50.
Right, and that's the way it works. And please remember that we have a salmon steelhead tag and we have a sturgeon tag, and this tag would operate the same way as those tags do.
All right,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Roberts.
A reading.
Trying to get it straight.
Section 7 of the bill.
Yes.
Which says that creates the account and earmarks the funds received from the annual halibut tag, the halibut tag.
Mm-hmm.
I want to clarify this, find out.
Mm-hmm.
This does not restrict this fund only to receipts from this tag, does it not? Could not the agency transfer other funds in there if they care to? There is no restriction saying that the only monies received from the issue of the halibut tag shall be reported to this fund. So therefore, and if it were necessary, you could transfer other money into it.
I think that's true, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Any other questions?
Great.
John, you want to call the roll on this one?
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Crow?
Aye.
Yee?
Aye.
Cairns?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Fulk? Co-Chair Bradbury?
Aye.
Representatives Gilmore?
No.
Jones?
No.
Bunn?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Mallory?
No.
Shifrak?
No.
Minnis?
Yes.
Co-chair Van Vliet?
Yes. Motion fails.
What was the vote?
The vote was 8.
I'll change my vote to aye in order to get it out, but because I promised these senator I would do that, and I don't go back on the word. Also, I also told him I wouldn't vote for it on the floor.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, the same thing. I'll help to get it out of committee, but I told Senator Brenneman that sponsored the bill that I was not going to support it on the floor.
Well, I got 3 vote changes then, Senator Hannon, Representative Corey, and Representative Jefferson. All right, Senate Bill 609 moves to the Senate floor, having passed. House Bill 2040, relating to telephone access for the physically disabled, Senator Cairns.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, members, House Bill 2040 expands the current program for telephone access for the physically disabled.
Right, that's right.
To provide telephone service access for the hearing impaired, to include people with impaired speech or physical disability. Under this bill, the Public Utility Commission would establish and administer a statewide program to purchase and distribute adaptive equipment to make telephone service generally available to persons with physical disabilities.
Any discussion? House Bill 2040 to the House floor with a due pass. House Bill 2045 relating to insurance for state agencies, Representative Minnis.
House Bill 2045, the bill revises statutes governing the losses of state-owned property, eliminates a lengthy delineation of procedural details, and clarifies that the Department of General Services has the authority to cover any peril rather than a specified list of perils. The bill also transfers responsibility for administration of the inmate injury program from the Department of Justice to the Department of General Services, with the premiums being assessed to the Department of Corrections. Task for the bill was assumed in Governor's recommended budget for the Department of Justice and General Services, funding for assessments to the Department of Corrections addressed and provided for by the Ways and Means Subcommittee dealing with the corrections budget. Thank you. Recommended.
Mr. Senator Bradbury.
Looking at this bill, it has the most unusual bill summary I think I've ever read in my life. Excludes mysterious disappearance, lack of maintenance, and inherent vice in coverage. Maybe you could explain that to me.
No.
That's what I thought. I don't want to attempt.
Sue, can I ask a question on your analysis of this, that it shows that there will be a loss in general funds? Is that correct?
Please put all 3 categories.
I'm looking at Department of Justice. They show a subtotal loss of $105,000 and claims paid from inmate injury fund another $110,000. I'm seeing is there a trade-off there between the other funds coming in?
There is probably a reduction in general fund to the Department of Justice.
Okay. It's a trade then.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Any other questions? We'll move House Bill 2045 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. House Bill 3377 relating to housing, Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill 3377 merges the Oregon Housing Agency and the Department of Human Resources State Community Services Program into a new Department of Housing and Community Services. The purpose of the bill is to merge many of the housing and community service programs in state government into one agency to provide more effective services to the program's clients. The subcommittee discussed the advantages and disadvantages of merging those programs not related to housing, such as nutrition programs, into the housing agency. It was determined, since many of the same local organizations, including CAP agencies, deliver many of these programs, keeping all of the state community service programs together made sense. The subcommittee did not make any changes in the bill. The subcommittee did integrate the state community service budget into the budget of the housing agency, which will be before the full committee in the near future. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Any questions on this one?
No question. I guess I've got mixed feelings about this. There are many of the activities of those of the committee action that relate to housing, and to that extent, it makes sense. There, from what we were able to see, there, for some reason, is not much, if any, savings by the putting the thing together, and you would think that there might be. But at the same time, the committee action also ends up dealing with distributing food, which in my opinion makes no sense. And the response to that is, well, we're trying to do a one-stop, and I would submit we don't even come close. I mean, the idea of one-stop to me would mean that if you had a place where someone could come and either get service or even direction on things relating to medical and alcohol and a whole bunch of other things, then we would truly have a one-stop. The idea of an agency which has a mixture of food and housing, and in the one stop you don't deliver the food, or even probably, and I would guess, maybe I'd be a little overly cynical here, that they won't even know where to get the food at the one stop. So it's real kind of questionable what we're doing here. But the justification, and I will support the bill, is the fact that so many of the activities of the community action related to housing.
Let me get Senator Roberts.
I think that it's hard to assess, for instance, the work of the community action programs, the CAP programs, because of the, they are not bureaucratic in nature. They don't run according to these arbitrary categories. They try to deal with people. And generally, people that are kind of distressed in a community have a variety of needs.
Yeah.
And so this, I think, is one of those laudable efforts to deal with people and to assess the problems and try to help them find how to solve those problems, rather than say, I'm sorry, well, your problem is a housing problem, you go over there. No, your problem is a food problem, you go over there, instead of dealing with them as people. And getting away from the idea of just dealing with people, dealing with agencies rather than with people. So I really commend this effort. I hope it works out. It may not be the final solution, but I think it'll be helpful.
Any other comments? Jones, you want to close on that?
Yeah, just a real quick closure. Personally, I just couldn't imagine a house without food in it. I'd recommend proof.
You can have a house without food, but not a home.
All right.
Oh.
Any objections to moving House Bill 3377 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Senate Bill 80, relating to the Department of Veterans Affairs home loan, Senator Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is another one of the bills that basically came down here for some unknown reason. It basically has no fiscal impact. It's passed the Senate, came out of the House Housing Committee, and came down here. Essentially, we want to just unleash it back to the floor of the House because it has no fiscal impact, and it makes some policy, adopts some policy for the Department of Veterans Affairs, which is already their current policy. And does some other things that don't in any way change the fiscal reality for this agency. So we really want to just send it on its way.
Any objections to sending Senate Bill 80 on its way?
Who sent it down here, just out of curiosity?
It must have been sent down by the Senate floor.
It was sent down by the Speaker's referral.
Speaker's Referral Bureau, all right.
It's going back to the House, then?
Yes, going back to the House. It's already passed the Senate.
Okay.
So it moves on to the House floor, then.
Without recommendation.
Without recommendation. Any objection to that? We are done. Thank you very much.
Bob, do you have an announcement about it for me?
Just that the, yes, Mr. Chairman, the Minority Caucus Support Group of Ways and Means did, in fact, unanimously adopt this morning that the notorious Gang of Five in the House Republican Caucus are now honorary members of our support group.
Hey, all right. All right.
Honorary or honorary?
So,
Infamous, too.
Infamous.
Help find me.